Coming to you now is Lahem Panim with your host, Pastor Cameron Urey, Senior Pastor and Bible Teacher at Renton Park Chapel in Renton, Washington.
Hello and welcome to the show today. As you may know, we've been in the book of Acts, and if you were with us last week, you'll remember that we saw that Paul and Silas have just been thrown into prison because of their having driven a demon out of a girl who, remember, with the aid of that demon, or I should say a python spirit, as the Greek actually says, she was able to tell the future. And so now, with the hope of making a profit off of her, now gone, after that demon had been driven out, her handlers, or I should say her owners, who didn't care one single whit about her, they stir up the crowds, and they have Paul and Silas severely beaten and thrown into a maximum security prison. Now, I don't know how you would feel after having all this happen to you. Paul and Silas obviously didn't feel good. I mean, they're in pain, severe pain, from their having been so incredibly and brutally beaten. They've been humiliated, and now they're sitting in a filthy dungeon. And on top of that, their feet are fastened into stocks that were actually designed to induce very painful cramping by spreading their legs as far apart as possible. And so they obviously can't sleep. I mean, so much pain, so much agony. But instead of moaning and groaning, instead of complaining, as I know I would have, instead of cursing the ones who did this to them, as any of the other prisoners might have been, and maybe some of them were, it says in verse 25, about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Let me tell you, there is nothing more powerful to a non-believer than observing the way that Christians suffer. Because there's no other way to explain it than by the Holy Spirit of God. It is the Holy Spirit who can transform us and empower us to show love and hope in the direst of circumstances, focusing our attention on the eternal reward rather than the temporal suffering. Paul himself writes in 2 Corinthians 4, verses 16 to 17, he says, "So we do not lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light, momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison." So Paul and Silas, they're not losing heart. No, they're focusing instead on the eternal. And maybe even more so on the invisible presence of Jesus right there in that prison with them. And as they're yielding themselves into the will of God and focusing themselves on the presence of Jesus with them, they are experiencing joy and peace. So much so that they can even pray and sing hymns. I mean, it's astounding to me. Now, it's when you and I place our faith and trust in God like that, that then the unthinkable can happen. And God is willing to move most powerfully when we trust in Him like that. And that's what we see here, as it says in verses 26 through 27. "And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's bonds were unfastened." Now, the jailer's house was probably located next to the prison. And so the earthquake no doubt rocked his house as well, waking him up. And it says, "When the jailer woke and saw that the prison doors were open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself, supposing that the prisoners had escaped. And he knew all too well that a Roman soldier who allowed a prisoner to escape, no matter what the cause, he paid with his own life." And so rather than anticipate facing the humiliating and painful execution that would surely follow, the jailer chose to kill himself immediately. But a voice calling out of the darkness stops him. It says in verse 28, "But Paul cried with a loud voice, 'Do not harm yourself, for we are all here.'" And interestingly, this included all the prisoners, who were probably in the same dungeon. None of them had attempted to escape. Why? We don't know. Maybe they were afraid of the consequences that they would endure if they were recaptured. Maybe they were afraid of aftershocks from the earthquake. Or maybe their respect for Paul and Silas caused them to want to stay. We don't know. But I'm also interested in why Paul and Silas didn't choose to try to escape, especially when they would have recognized this, obviously, as a mighty moving of the hand of God. But no, for some reason, they and the others choose to remain. Perhaps Paul and Silas sensed that God wanted them to remain. But whatever the reason, the jailer is amazed. It says, "And the jailer called for lights and rushed in, and trembling with fear, he fell down before Paul and Silas." And obviously, seeing this earthquake as being divine confirmation of their message, it says, "Then he brought them out," no doubt after re-securing the other prisoners, "and said, 'Sirs, what must I do to be saved?' And they said, 'Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household.' And they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their wounds." What a beautiful picture. "And he was baptized at once, he and all his family." And this, even if it was not done out in the open, it would have quickly gotten around because no doubt a lot of people had gathered in that area because of this earthquake. And furthermore, it says, "Then he brought them up into his house and set food before them." So he shows them hospitality, just as Lydia had done. And it says, "And he rejoiced along with his entire household that he had believed in God." And you can really sense this joy. I mean, moments before this, he had been facing death. And now his life, his physical life, has been given back to him. But more than that, his spiritual life as well. And he, recognizing that this was a gift of God, does what each and every one of us who knows of Jesus' salvation ought to do. He gives his life right back to God. And in so doing, he obtains eternal life, which makes him rejoice all the more. Let me ask you, do you rejoice daily in your salvation? You should, because there is nothing better than experiencing in your own life the redemption of Jesus Christ. Because of that empty tomb and our being received into the family of God, every day ought to be a celebration. Because no matter what you and I are facing, we have become inheritors of a great and glorious kingdom, and are one day going to walk those streets of gold hand in hand with God. I cannot wait for that day. And so let's remember to celebrate. Now it says in verse 35, "But when it was day, the magistrates sent the police, saying, 'Let those men go,'" meaning Paul and Silas. And they were no doubt hoping that Paul and Silas would, having learned their lesson, just kind of quietly limp out of town. But it says in verse 36 and following, "And the jailer reported these words to Paul, saying, 'The magistrates have sent to let you go. Therefore come out now and go in peace.' But Paul said to them, 'They have beaten us publicly, uncondemned, men who are Roman citizens, and have thrown us into prison. And do they now throw us out secretly? No. Let them come themselves and take us out.'" And so we see that Paul, I mean, he kind of has a Clint Eastwood moment. I don't know. He decides, "I'm not going to go quietly." But contrary to how this might first appear, this isn't because he wants to exact some kind of revenge. No, keep in mind that he has just become the shepherd of the church there in Philippi. And if he were to leave quietly, after having been treated so wrongly, and I might add, illegally, it would have set a very dangerous precedent for how future missionaries would be treated. Not to mention the potential mistreatment of the church there in Philippi by those same magistrates. And he knew full well that to inflict corporal punishment on a citizen was a grave violation of Roman law. All the more so since, it had been done without them even having a trial. The consequences for that, both for the magistrates and for the entire city, were very, very serious. The magistrates, they could have been removed from office. And the emperor could have actually rescinded Philippi's privileges as a Roman colony. It's a very serious thing. And so Paul, he takes a stand for justice, and he demands that they at least escort them out, showing them the respect due to Roman citizens. And you and I, we often get into our minds that being a Christian means we have to let people walk all over us, that we need to always take abuse with a smile. And we've been led to believe that by verses like turn the other cheek, which of course is true, or when Jesus says, if anybody takes your cloak, that kind of thing. But God is the God of justice just as much as he is a God of love. And if we only remain passive and we never stand against injustice, then we're not just allowing abuse on ourselves, no, we're also allowing a behavior to continue that might spill onto somebody else. It's not about revenge. Of course, we want to never exact revenge, but we can demand justice for ourselves and for others. And Paul recognized that, which is why he chose to take a stand. And it proves very effective. It says in verse 38, the police reported these words to the magistrates, and they were afraid when they heard that they were Roman citizens. So they came and apologized to them. And they took them out and asked them to leave the city. So they went out of the prison and visited Lydia. And when they had seen the brothers, they encouraged them and departed. And so once again, we see how Satan's plans to infiltrate and persecute the church in Philippi only resulted in another family being added to that church, and that church gaining the protection of the city rulers. And so today, I want to leave you with a message that God is with you in every situation that you face. And though Satan might try to infiltrate your heart, and when that fails, persecute you from every other direction, if you remain faithful to God, God will make all the bad merely the seed for some of his greatest goods, his greatest blessings. But we have to trust in him. And we have to rejoice even in the midst of the darkest circumstances, knowing that he is truly working all things together for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. Let's trust in him. Amen.
Today's episode of Lehem Panim has been made possible by Renton Park Chapel, a church that is committed to the ministry of sharing the joy of hearing and doing God's word, and to the mission of bringing people into the life-giving presence of Jesus Christ in and through vibrant preaching, teaching, Bible study, prayer, and ministry to a world that is in desperate need of the healing touch of Jesus Christ. If you'd like to learn more about our ministry here at Renton Park Chapel, or would like to request any of our messages here on Lehem Panim, you can visit us online at rentonparkchapel.org or lehempanim.org. You can also find us on both Facebook and Twitter. We look forward to hearing from you, and thank you for listening. And may you know all the fullness of having in your life the bread of the presence of God.